You're listening to your NTD AudioCast, and my name is Ashok Molu. A growing pattern of evidence amongst researchers and clinicians suggests that early-stage Mycobacterium ulcerans infection, also known as Buruli ulcer disease, can be effectively treated with antimicrobial drugs and, in doing so, avoid the need for surgery. A study by a group of Dutch and Ghanaian researchers published in the February 2010 edition of the medical journal The Lancet supports the recommendation contained in provisional guidelines issued by the World Health Organization in 2004 that antibiotic treatment for Mycobacterium ulcerans infection stops the progression of early limited disease. The study carried out by the University of Groningen investigated the efficacy of two antibiotic combinations in Ghana by comparing the outcomes of patients who received streptomycin and rifampicin for 8 weeks with those who received streptomycin and rifampicin for 4 weeks, followed by 4 weeks each of rifampicin and clarithromycin. Professor T.S. van der Werf is from the University of Groningen in the Netherlands and was part of the group of Dutch and Ghanaian researchers who investigated the efficacy of the two antibiotic combinations in Ghana.
Treating patients with early limited Buruli ulcer resulted in a very high cure rate at a time point 12 months after start of treatment. We had imagined this would be something around 50-60% perhaps, but to our surprise it was over 90%. So it was very effective, and we considered cure as healing of the ulcerative lesion with a normal cover of skin and no recurrence in the time frame 12 months after start of treatment. And this treatment, mind you, only took 8 weeks. So it's not like in tuberculosis where you treat maybe 6 months or so. No, 8 weeks of treatment. And the phenomenal finding was that healing took place not within the time frame that we were actively treating, but the healing occurred several weeks after we completed the treatment. The second important conclusion from our studies that without losing efficacy, at least not at a significant level, we could switch patients from injected therapy to oral treatment some 4 weeks after start. So the first 4 weeks would be equal for both study arms, but switching patients to a oral regimen, so we could thereby avoid more injections, would not lose efficacy. So we were statistically equivalent in treatment results if we switched the patient to oral treatment.
The findings of this important study will help change the clinical management of Buruli ulcer disease. Dr. Kinsley Asiedu is medical officer in charge of Buruli ulcer at the World Health Organization in Geneva, Switzerland.
The findings of this study will definitely influence the way we manage Buruli ulcer. Based on the recommendations of WHO in 2004, promoting the use of antibiotics to treat the disease, we are glad to see that this study has confirmed what we had earlier promoted. But it also brings us a little bit closer to our ultimate goal of developing an oral treatment for the disease. And this will facilitate the implementation in the field as we get away from injectable streptomycin.
In a separate and promising study in the United States, scientists have established a better way to detect mycolactone, the toxin secreted by Mycobacterium ulcerans, the causative organism of Buruli ulcer disease. Similar bacilli belonging to the same family of Mycobacteria also cause leprosy and tuberculosis, but do not produce mycolactone. The scientists from Harvard University created a simple but highly sensitive fluorescent technique to detect the mycolactone toxins that spread within the infected tissue. Dr. Mark Wansborough-Jones is consultant physician at the St. George Hospital Medical School in London, UK, and is also chair of the WHO Technical Advisory Group on Borrelia ulcer disease.
Mycolactone is absolutely central to understanding of the pathogenesis of Mycobacterium ulcerans disease. In other words, how this organism causes ulceration in tissue. Primarily, it's a very toxic molecule which destroys the tissues around it. And that is why people develop ulcers. The findings from this study at Harvard are very interesting because they have used methods that we've known about for some time to detect mycolactone, but made them much more sensitive than they were before, so that we can potentially detect very small quantities of mycolactone in the tissue. We can now start to think of it as a way of making the diagnosis of Borrelia ulcer. Previously, we have depended on tests for culture of the organism or looking down a microscope and seeing the organism, but these are very insensitive. The most sensitive test we have is what's called PCR, which detects the DNA of Mycobacterium ulcerans. This is a very good test with over 90% sensitivity, but it's a difficult test to do, requiring a sophisticated laboratory, and it's really quite expensive. The potential for detecting mycolactone in small quantities is that we could be able to develop a simple test which could be done in unsophisticated laboratories in countries where this disease is endemic. So a lot of work needs to be done to see if it really can be applied in this situation, but potentially it could be a useful diagnostic test.
Until 2004, the standard treatment for Borrelia ulcer was surgery, characterized by wide excisions and skin grafting. Such treatment is often unavailable and is expensive in practice. It involves patients, particularly those in endemic rural areas in Africa, traveling long distances to access treatment in hospitals. Borrelia ulcer disease is a bacterial infection that causes ulcerative lesions and destruction of the skin and sometimes the bones. Cases have been reported in more than 30 countries with tropical and subtropical climates. Infection starts as a painless mobile swelling of the skin that leads to extensive ulceration, usually on the legs and arms. Early diagnosis of cases is crucial in obtaining effective treatment.